welcome to the inaugural edition of This Week in YouTube History. I'm your host, Eric Shivers. On this week's show, we'll wander back to 1991 and visit the great releases of that year, including U2's Pontoon Baby. We'll also preview what's inside the 20th anniversary re-release of this great album. We'll get to some of those U2 headlines, and of course, visit Gig of the Week. So sit back and enjoy This Week in U2 History. As I said in the opener, the year 1991 was pivotal in the history of music. The LA Sunset Strip hair metal scene had all but dried up, and the new epicenter of American music was moving up the Pacific Coast to Seattle, Washington. The new music genre was called grunge, and its flag bearer was Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Soundgarden, all of whom released albums that made a dramatic shift in what we listened to that year. Let's not forget R.E.M., the Pixies, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, plus Blur and Michael Jackson added to that barrage of great releases. And yes, lastly, U2's release Pontoon Baby is part of this historic class. Before I focus on U2 and Pontoon Baby, I want to visit Nirvana and the impact Nevermind had at the time. What was great about this trio of Dave Grohl, Kurt Cobain, and Chris Novoselic were the raw emotion and personal angst found on this epic album. Added to this was their musical style, which contrasted harshness and softness within one tune, much of which was influenced by their peers, the Pixies, who also released an album that year. Nirvana's record Nevermind has always held a special place in my heart. In fact, there are times I listen to it over its classmate, Pontoon Baby, U2's emotional masterpiece. I can say emotional masterpiece because the album steers away from its predecessors and the U2 formula of politically driven rock with the undercurrent of religion. Or did it? This whole brand new sound that was created in Hansa Studio is really the genius of Pontoon Baby and how the band metamorphosized itself into a whole new band. Guitar loops, falsetto voices, and hyper-driven distortion, plus the transcendental beats, were now U2's wheelhouse. Forgotten were Edge's echo effects and the marching style of Larry's drumming. Bono left behind his stripped-down rocker and turned into his new persona, the Fly. All of this was probably to Adam's humor. We all know this recording sessions at Hansa Studio, where U2 was recording in 1990, were fraught with head-knocking discussions and a lot of contradictions, and I'm sure a lot of contention. The result was a transformation, so much so that we did not see the religious overtones in the songs, such as Until the End of the World, a classic track from that album. In fact, religion was an undertone of this song, as the narrative focused on a what-if conversation created by Bono between Judas and Christ. Bono plays narrator as the band follows along with their newfound musical palette. Pontoon Baby, in my mind, is the apex of U2's creative capabilities, and I was open to it at the time as they left the 80s far behind. What is incredible is how the birth of this album came out of a class filled with masterpieces, and this is why we celebrate it today with a 20th anniversary retrospective, which will shed light on this album again and bring more U2 fans into the fold. You know, I'm sure by now you've got your ultimate box set of Pontoon Baby's 20th anniversary release. You know, I went to Best Buy today and I had to make sure that they had it in the shelf. So before the store opened, I ordered it online and had to go pick it up. And I gotta tell you, it's a weighty thing. I mean, just the ultimate box set with just the discs and the books and the posters. I mean, it's kind of cool. You know, I think the great thing about what's on this or in this retrospective is the Guggenheim directed documentary From the Sky Down, which, from what I know, is an intimate look at how this great album came together. I think having the band reflect on this turning point in their career is the added bonus the box set needed. And I'm also quite pleased that they put all the singles and B-sides into one collection. I have them scattered, like many people, around the house, and it's kind of nice that they've, you know, put them all into one section. You know, the thing that I feel about this box set is that, you know, you always sort of look at it in, with sort of in the rear view and saying, you know, what else could they have put on here? And I think they sort of missed the boat when they added the live DVD from Sydney, Australia. You know, we've already had that out in the marketplace for a few years, and, you know, I already got it. I don't need it. I think what they should have done was, you know, unearth one of those great shows from the Zoo TV tour, which I'm sure they taped all of them. It'd been nice to have that recording of where they were in at the Royal Dublin Stadium in 1993 at the end of this Zooropa tour. You know, either in an audio version, which, you know, they simulcast that show around the world, or, you know, a video. And, you know, speaking of Zooropa, you know, the sort of the seminal EP turned full-length recording, I'm not sure if it's added for posterity or an added bonus. We'll see. I don't think that they touched it. I just wish that, you know, this collection had some raw tracks from the Hansa studio. You know, it sort of like seeped out of the black market. It'd been kind of cool to hear some of that stuff. But, you know, the great thing about that is that they actually took some of those gobbledygook, as Bono was quoted, tracks, and, you know, turned them into new songs. Kind of the difference with that is that, you know, this still isn't Bono's voice from, you know, 20 years ago. You know, listening to some of that stuff, you know, he really had a richness, and some of that has gone through. But, you know, overall, I got to tell you, it's nice to have a nice big box set, you know, a book that goes with it to commemorate this great this album. And I'm really happy that they did it, and I look forward to hearing your feedback. Hey, just sort of taking a spin around the U2 headlines this week, and it looks as though the band is going to be going on a hiatus, or quite possibly a permanent hiatus. The headline out of The Independent says, end of line now on the horizon for U2. The band are in crisis, and the next album will be the most critical in their career, writes Barry Egan. That's a kind of a tough headline to suck down as we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Achtung Baby. You know, it's, I guess they sort of feel that they're in a place where they've got to start making another move creatively. You know, the issue of Q Magazine just came out, and it celebrated the album's release and its 20th anniversary. And from what I've read through the blogosphere, that people have said that it doesn't look likely that this band's going to be holding it together for a while. You know, maybe they're going to go underground. You know, it's too bad. It doesn't bode well for us. However, I feel there's a need for time off for them and to get a little bit recharged. They've been on the road on this tour for almost 2 years. And, you know, the numbers for No Lawn on the Horizon didn't really catapult them like the previous two releases. But instead, you know, the real jewel was the 360 tour, which became a mega tour and set a lot of records. Speaking of jewels, we would like to wish Larry Mullen Jr. a happy 50th from imayoutubefan.com as we look forward to his cinematic debut, taking on acting in The Man on the Train. Man on the Train is a really great film. It's actually an English adaptation of a French movie. Came out a few years ago, and it's great to see that the quiet one in the band is playing sort of a seminal quiet character in the movie, much like himself. But again, Larry, we wish you a happy birthday, and we wish you the best of luck on that film. And until next week, we'll keep our noses to the grindstone of what's going on with you two in the news. Back to this week in U2 history. You know, it's been an idea of mine to be doing a podcast for this great band and bringing together all this great information as we have today, especially with the kickoff of Achtung Baby's 20th anniversary and, you know, my memoir about being a fan of the band. But you know, The one thing I really want to do is get some of those newer fans connected to the older U2. There's a wealth of history here of 35 years of gigs and music and great political events. So the last section we want to call here is Gig of the Week. Brings in a little bit of history of this great band. This week's show comes from November 1st, 1987 in Indianapolis, Indiana. It was a Joshua Tree tour at the Hoosier Dome. Four guys got on stage that night to open up for U2. They named themselves the Dalton Brothers. They were dressed up in Western wear and raunchous wigs and ripped through some three-chord Johnny tunes. Sort of the joke was on the fans there. They didn't know who the Daltons were. They sort of told them that they were a local band that got asked to play that night for U2, and they were so excited. A couple hours later, as U2 was ripping through their set, they stopped and said, you know, we want to play some a three-chord Johnny song by the name of Lucille. We learned it backstage there from the Dalton Brothers. And all of a sudden, the fans figured out that they were being played to. It was a great night, and I definitely remember that tour. It was it was one of the first tours that I caught U2 live, and you know, they were always full of pranks and having a good time. Always have been that way. So that's the U2 Gig of the Week, November 1st, 1987, Joshua Tree Tour, Indianapolis, Indiana at the Hoosier Dome. Look forward to hearing from you on Twitter, Facebook, through the webpage of imayoutubefan.com. Till next week, keep that needle in the vinyl grooves.
You've been listening to This Week in U2 History, brought to you by 822design.com, a different kind of design firm. Eric Shivers is the author of I'm a Fan, How I Married U2 Into My Life Without Going to the Altar, available at Amazon.com. Read more about Eric's memoir at imayoutubefan.com and join the conversation. Tune in next week for more U2 History.